This morning I'm going to speak on a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very familiar story, one that you will have read many times. And I'm not going to read the whole story, just the first five verses. If you have your Bible, you can follow. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay, just stay with me. I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 2, and it's that story where Jesus changes the water into wine. I'm going to read the first five verses, which say this. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." I'm just going to leave it there. What you'll notice from the first five verses of that particular story is Jesus' mother, her name is Mary, and she's mentioned three times. And so the story involves Jesus' mother, Mary. She's a remarkable lady. In religious history, she is a remarkable lady. You will remember that she is considered and spoken of in the Gospels as the highly favored one who was chosen by God to bear the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will remember that it was her response to the angel that said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And it was this lady, this woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus. It was her response and cooperation to God's will and God's plan in her life. And we read about it in the Gospels that led to the wondrous and mysterious virgin birth. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she had a complex dynamic in a sense, because the Scriptures tell us that she was a faithful follower of Jesus in her own right. But yet she was the mother of the Messiah. And she had this in her life. She had this in her heart. Some say she was great. They say, "Oh yeah, Mary, she was great." But if she has any greatness at all, it will always be remembered and should always be linked to the greatness of the one that she gave birth to, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly the great one. He is truly the one who is enthroned in the heavens at the right hand of the Father. Your Lord and your Saviour, the one that you follow, the one that thrills your heart, he truly is the great one. And yet, in some places and in some churches, she's been raised up. She's been raised up so high that Jesus lives in her shadows. Mary. But the Mary that we know is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary of the virgin birth. Mary who faithfully responded to God's call upon her life. And we see her even at the cross. Mary. You'll notice that this particular story that John introduces, Mary. He says, Jesus' mother was there. Right at the very get-go, right at the very start of this particular story, he wants the readers, you and me, to know that Jesus' mother was there. He says it. Jesus' mother was there. And he introduces the characters, and he starts with Jesus' mother, and then he goes on to introduce Jesus, the disciples, and eventually the master of the banquet. That's the order in which the characters of this particular story are introduced. Mary. And it's Mary that identifies that the wine is running low. Out of all the people at the wedding, two big families at this social gathering, and yet it's Mary that identifies that the wine is running low. One wonders about that. How did she find herself in such a position? Sort of, if anybody was going to notice that the wine was running low, she surely would have been the master of the banquet. He should have known, if anyone should have known. And if he didn't know, then you would half expect maybe some of the family members to know, that they would have seen and they would have identified. Actually, the wine is running low. We got to do something about it. But no, the story simply reads. The story simply tells you that it was Mary. It was Jesus' mother. She sees this, and how did she find herself in such a place? Where was she in this wedding that she's seen this taking place? And she notices it. And then not only does she identify this, but she actually comes up with her own solution. She thinks, oh, I know who will sort this all out. I know the very person who will solve this problem is my son, Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder, did she go to anybody else and kind of get their opinion or get their suggestions? Has anybody got some suggestions how we'll sort this issue out? I don't think so. I think she identified her son as the one that was going to solve this issue. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 4. Because verse 4, I seen something in verse 4 that I'd never seen before. Verse 4 says this. In the New International Version, it says, "Woman, why do you involve me?" These are the words of Jesus to his mother. "My hour has not yet come." Why do you involve me, he says. Can you picture Jesus having this interaction with his mother? And him saying these words to her, "Why do you involve me?" The New Living Translation, the same verse, says these words. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." And so in one version, he's questioning his mother. He's saying, "Why are you involving me?" And in another version, this very same thing is said in a different way. He says, "That's not our problem." In other words, that's their problem. And now you're making their problem your problem. You're making their problem my problem. But it was the words in the translation of the Message that really caught my attention. Verse 4 of John chapter 2 says this. Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." When I read those words, those three little words, they jumped off the page at me. Those words that says, "Don't push me." Can you see it in your mind's eye? Jesus speaking to his mother. He says these words to her. "Don't push me." Oh, that brings a whole new perspective. That brings it from a new angle. Jesus feels as though his mother is pushing him. Jesus feels that she is pushing this agenda towards him. Jesus feels that she is pushing this problem over to him. And he says these words, "Don't push me. Don't push me." Jesus feels that he is being pushed The expectations of the outcome, solving the problem, everybody looking on, those who were aware of the issue. And here we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, pushing it towards her son. And Jesus is feeling it. And he says, don't push me. See, we're familiar with Mary. We know Mary. Mary of the virgin birth. Mary, the follower of Jesus. Mary, the highly and favoured one. We know Mary. But when I seen her from this particular angle, I see her in a new light. And I see her as Mary, the pushy parent. Oh, Mary. I've never seen you like that before, Mary. Mary, the pushy parent, because Mary is pushing this issue upon her son. Mary is pushing this problem over towards Jesus. Mary, the pushy parent. And she sees no problem with pushing this towards Jesus. She sees no problem in pushing this issue onto his hands and onto his lap and onto his shoulders, because Mary is the pushy parent. A pushy parent. Ah. So we all know what a pushy parent is. A pushy parent is one who pushes something onto their child. They push something that is theirs or something that they want onto their son or onto their daughter. And I'm sure that we've all at some point in our lives been that child where a parent has pushed something our way. And we didn't really want it. If we had had a choice, we would have said, ah, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. You can keep that one. Oh, no, but the pushy parent has pushed it onto our shoulders. Oh, no, dad. Don't want that one. Oh, no, but they've pushed it. It's yours. Sort it out. I remember when I was a boy. I think I was about 10 or something. And I've been invited to RTE Studios, along with a lot of other children from the community. RTE were putting on this party for the inner city children of the communities. And I couldn't wait. I was like, oh, I can't wait to go to RTE. There's going to be a big party. And two of my favourite people from TV were going to be there. Now, I don't know if you remember these. I hope that you do. The first person I was looking forward to seeing was Bosco. Who can remember Bosco? Yeah. Hey, the little puppet in a box. He used to say this in his show. Knock, knock, open wide. See what's on the other side. Knock, knock, anymore. Come with me through the magic door. Oh, Bosco, I loved Bosco. The little puppet in a box. I couldn't wait to get to RT Studios to see Bosco do his thing. And the second person I was looking forward to seeing back then was a guy with a telephone on his head, Patch Chat. I don't know if any of you guys remember a guy called Patch Chat. It was a kids' TV programme. He was on RTE. He used to have a telephone on his head. The telephone would ring. He would pick it off his head and say, hello, who's there? But anyway, long story short, I got an invitation to go to RTE Studios. I was looking forward to seeing Bosco and Patch Chat. And my mum said to me, you're going to wear your duffel coat. I says, what? She says, oh, yeah, you're going to look your best. I says, Mom, I don't know where my duffel coat. She says, you're wearing it. I was like, Mom, I don't want to wear my duffel coat. My duffel coat is heavy and it's hard. If any of you have ever had a duffel coat, you'll know that duffel coats are heavy and hard. And my duffel coat had 3 black buttons. They look like bones. If you've ever seen a duffel coat, they look like bones. I thought, Mom, I don't want to wear my duffel coat. Don't make me wear the duffel coat, Mom. I'll look stupid. Then all of my friends, they'll all see me. She says, you're wearing it. You'll look lovely, you will. And so, lo and behold, my mum made me wear my duffel coat. She pushed it on me. And I had to wear the duffel coat. And I think we've all had experiences like that. We've all had times where we, as the child, the son or the daughter, where our parents have pushed something on us.
even if it was to make us look lovely in the eyes of others. And it could have been an expectation, or to get involved in an activity, a sporting activity or a dance activity, whatever it is. Parents say, oh, you got to do this. I want you to do this. And push the child to do something. Sometimes when the child doesn't want to do it. And I realised as well that it's not only parents that can be pushy. People can be pushy. People push stuff our way. Has somebody ever pushed something onto you that you didn't want? It wasn't even your business. It wasn't their business. It was somebody else's business. Because people can be pushy, where they push stuff, expectations, responsibilities, things our way. They push it into our hands. They push it onto our laps. They push it onto our shoulders simply because they don't want it themselves, and they've come to the conclusion in their hearts and in their minds, here, you can solve this. And they push it. Peer pressure. It's often regarded and associated with young people and teenagers, where older teenagers are pushing the younger teenager to do something they don't want to do, to go somewhere they don't want to go. But what I realised is peer pressure isn't only about teenagers. It's actually about adults as well. Sometimes you can have pressure from your peers in the workplace, in the community, in colleges, even in churches, where people push stuff, push the pressure towards people. And so when I read the story of the water being turned into wine, when I read verse 4 in the Message, and it says, Jesus said to his mother, don't push me. I realise now that Mary was pushing this over to her son. Mary, the pushy parent. And that's not the first time that Jesus was experiencing being pushed. He experienced it another time. Do you remember the time in the Gospels when he went to the synagogue, and he was in the synagogue and he stood up to read the scrolls of Isaiah, and everybody was amazed? I'm going to read that to you now. But it's what happened after that particular experience that is in line with our talk today. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked intently at him. The scriptures read that he began to tell the people, you know, if you have expectations that I'm going to do the same things that I did in other towns, that I'm going to do it here, it's not going to happen, because a prophet is not accepted in his hometown. And the scriptures read this concerning Jesus being pushed. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. And here we have another example of Jesus in the synagogue, reading the scriptures, sitting down, and the people pushing him up the hill. They intended to push him over the cliff. And I can just imagine him standing there with all of these people pushing and pushing and pushing. And the scripture says that they pushed him right to the edge. And I think that's very true in the lives of people. I think that happens today.
I think it happens in people's lives where people are pushing somebody right to the edge. And when you're on the edge, you're on the edge of retaliation. You're on the edge of screaming. You're on the edge of breaking down because you begin to feel if they keep on pushing and they keep on pushing me and forcing me and pushing me, they're gonna push me over the edge. Just as the mob had tried to do with Jesus. People experience this in their lives, where they have people around them that are pushing them in a direction they don't want to go. They're pushing them into something they don't want to do. And they're on the edge of retaliation. They're on the edge of breaking down. They're on the edge of the cliff, just as Jesus was. Pushing. The theme of pushing this morning. But there's a positive dynamic to pushing, which I have seen in my life. And I think you have seen this too. Many people have found themselves serving the Lord in a place where they want to serve the Lord. They're serving God and they feel they're right in the centre of God's will and God's plans and God's purposes. And they're serving the Lord with a joyful heart and they're enjoying life. They think to themselves, yeah, this is great. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I've met people like that. In fact, I feel like that. I feel like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. This is where it's all at. This is where it's all happening. People are serving the Lord today and tomorrow in churches, in organizations, in business, here, there, and everywhere. People are serving God. Praise the Lord. And do you know, even now as I look back upon my own life, of some of the things I got to do, and some of the people that are serving the Lord probably wouldn't be in that position if somebody hadn't given them a gentle little push. If somebody hadn't given them that little gentle push of encouragement that said, I think you can do this. I think you could actually do this. I think this is made for you. I think you would be a great fit for this. How has it been? Have you experienced that in your life where you find yourself doing something in the Lord and serving Him in some domain? And you think to yourself, oh yeah, I remember. I probably wouldn't have done it if somebody hadn't come along beside me and says, yeah, I'll give you that gentle little nudge, that gentle little push in the direction that you're going. And so it is. There is a positive dynamic. There is a positive experience to pushing. Is that when people who love us, people who know us, come beside us to encourage us and give us that gentle little push that we need to get us going in the direction that God is calling us. I was speaking to a man this week who said these words. He says, Alan, I probably wouldn't do anything if somebody didn't give me that gentle little push that I needed. There are some people who need a little push in the right direction. A little push to get involved. A little push in the things of God. And then there's others. They only need a gentle little nudge. You give them a little nudge, you think, oh yeah, there they go again. Praise the Lord. There is a positivity in having a push. And I think God does that. I think that God gives us a gentle little push when we need it. He will never push you over because He cares about you. But He will give you that gentle little push in the right direction. And the push of God, your loving Heavenly Father, will always be with an open hand rather than a closed fist. Because He is God, your loving Heavenly Father. Sometimes we need a little bit of a push to get us going. Sometimes we need a little bit of a push to get us going in the direction that God is calling us. And then, do you remember the story of the woman in the Gospels with the bleeding, who's been bleeding for 12 years. And the story says that she'd gone to all the doctors and none of them could help her. It's Mark chapter 5. I'll read some of the verses to you. But she had to push herself. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from the many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them.
But she'd gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him and through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. And immediately the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of the terrible condition. And here is a woman who had suffered for many years, who had suffered at the hands of other people, who had been suffering on the inside in her heart and in her mind. And she had known pain for many years. And she heard that Jesus was in the place. And so she had to push on through the crowds. She had to push people out of the way so that she could touch the hem of Jesus' robe. She had to push her way through everyone that was crowding around him, everyone that was crowding around her. And she had to push on through in order to find the healing that she had known in her life. And I believe today that we too are like the woman, that sometimes we have things that are crowding in on top of us, crowding in on our minds, crowding in on our thoughts, crowding in on our lives. And there is a time where we have to push on through to faith, push on through to Jesus, push on through to the one that we love, that we may just touch the hem of his garment and know the blessing of his presence and know the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to push on through. You got to push on through if things are crowding in on top of you. You got to push on through by faith. You got to push on through in love. You got to push on through, people of the Lord. You got to push on through. You got to push your way through to the Lord Jesus Christ as he is here this morning. Push on through like the woman who had the strength and the grace to push on through. And you and I today, we got to push on through. Because there are many things that would crowd us out from the presence of the Lord. There are many people who would try to crowd us out from reaching the one that we love. But we got to push on through. Just like this woman. You got to push on through. You got to push on through in prayer. You got to push on through in your prayer life. Do not give up praying for each other. Do not give up praying for your families. Do not give up praying for your community. You got to push on through in prayer. And what I see in this story and what I see in this woman's life is she got to push, but she also had something in her life that was pulling her down. This issue had pulled her down for many years. And so you can always be guaranteed that when you are pushing on in the Lord, when you're pushing through in the Lord, most times you'll have something that will try and pull you down. Something that will try and pull you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that will try and push you away or pull you away from knowing God's love in your heart. Where there is a push in the spirit, you'll always have a pull of the flesh. Push and pull. Ever seen them on a door? You're trying to open a door and it says push and you pull and you go to the other side and you, instead of pushing, you pull. There's always these two that go together. There is a push, but there's always a pull. And we all have our own pulls. That which pulls you away will probably not be the same as that which pulls me away. But there is always a pull, something that will try and pull you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that will try and pull you down. But we, like the woman, we got to push on through the crowd that we see the Lord Jesus as he is today. And so this morning, as I bring all of these things together, this is what I leave you with. Number one, God, your loving Heavenly Father, on Father's Day, he's not a pushy parent. He won't push stuff onto you that you do not want and that you cannot carry, because he cares about you. God, your loving Heavenly Father, is not a pushy parent, but he might give you a gentle little push in the right direction. He might give you a gentle little push towards Jesus. He might give you a gentle little push in the things of faith, but he'll never push you over, because he's not a pushy parent. And if any of you this morning have felt in any way in your lives that people are pushing you and pushing you into stuff that you don't want to,
You feel like you're on the edge, just as Jesus was on the edge. And you think to yourself, if they keep on pushing me, I don't know what I'm going to do. May God give you the strength and the grace to walk on through. Just as Jesus walked through them, the Bible says. May God give you the grace and the strength just to walk away in the direction that He would have you. And so God is not a pushy parent. May you have the grace and the strength to walk in another direction. And the last thing I would leave you is, you got to push on through like the woman. You got to push on through. Don't give up on pushing on and pushing through in the things of faith. For you, as you do that, you will know the presence of the Lord. You'll know the power of God in your life. You'll know the goodness and the blessing of God in your life as you push on through. We are people, family together, but we got to push on through whatever it is that crowds us out. And so let us bring these things to a close. Lord, today, we love you. Lord, our God, our loving Heavenly Father, this morning we are reminded that not only, Lord, do you love us, but that you'll give us a gentle little push to the things of faith. That you'll never push us over, Lord, because you're not a pushy parent. And this morning, Lord, give each one of us, Lord, the grace and the strength of your Spirit for us to walk and to continue walking with you, Lord. And this morning, Lord, that we too will say to you, our good and gracious Heavenly Father, that we will push on, Lord. We will push whatever it is that is crowding in on us, so that we will see the goodness of Jesus Christ. We will see the smile upon His face. Cause us to see you this morning in a way that we have not seen you before. Cause us to know the warmth of your love and the light of your presence. Cause us to know that today we are in the arms of the Lord. That today we are in the arms of the one who loves us. God, your loving, gracious Heavenly Father, is the one who picks you up and holds you close to his chest, close to his heart, because he loves you. He won't push you over, but he will give you a gentle little push. All of these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.